Good morning, everyone. I call the Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting to order. The date is Tuesday, September the 2nd, 2014. This would be a good time if anybody has any devices that would ring during the meeting. You can put them on silent. Hope everyone had a nice Labor Day holiday weekend. If you'll stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving right along on item number 4, discussion and possible action, the approval of the agenda for this date, September the 2nd, 2014. Anybody have any questions on today's agenda? Ms. Bean?
I'm so here after how you hear it. You know, we need a little louder, please.
Do we have any other...
Kay Dean, Virginia City Highlands. I'm having trouble with my headset today, probably. Sorry. I'd like to see item number 10 removed off the consent agenda. I don't think any contract with an initial lump sum payment of $280,000 should be considered routine, and that is what the consent agenda is for.
Very good. Anything else?
No.
How does that? Does it work for you, Les?
Works good.
Okay, good. All right. So, any other discussion on today's agenda? Okay. Can I get a motion for approval with the exception of item 10? So moved.
Seconded.
We moved in a second to approve today's agenda with the exception of item 10. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay. Item number 5, discussion and possible action, the approval of the minutes for August 19, 2014. Anybody have any comments on the minutes? Call for a motion.
Motion to approve minutes for August 19th.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes for August 19, 2014. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. Moving along to the consent agenda. Anybody else have any questions on today's consent agenda? All right. So at that time, at this point, why don't we go ahead and we'll bring up item 10.
Good morning, Commissioner. Sherry Nevin for the record. I have here with me today Lucas Tipton from Far West Engineering. The item you have in front of you is the Six Mile Canyon Drainage Improvement Grant Project Professional Services Engineering Agreement between Story County and Far West Engineering. I'll give you a little bit of a background on this project. In 2009, which has been about 5 years ago, Story County submitted a grant application through the Nevada Division of Emergency Management for FEMA pre-disaster mitigation funding. We worked from that time till about June of this year in getting through all the environmental studies, all of the paperwork that goes along with this grant, finally received the grant award in June of this year. We have sought two different professional service agreements, one from another engineer out of Minden, and the second one here that we have before you from Far West Engineering. Keep in mind that the total cost on this engineering agreement is in the grant award. The grant award was for, it's in your packet. I don't know the exact amount off the top of my head. About $1.5 million approximately. Of that, we do have a match. But these engineering costs should all be approved under the grant for this line item of engineering services.
Thank you. Anyone have any questions on this? Ms. Dean.
Kay Dean, Virginia City Highlands. I looked at the contract, and it just wasn't really clear to me that Story County won't possibly end up paying more than this $379,679, which is our responsibility as a local jurisdiction. It didn't look like there was a holdout of 10 or 15% to have some leverage at the end if there are some issues. I just was surprised to see a contract like this. There was not any, in the actual contract with Far West Engineering, I did not see a total amount. I just saw a lump sum payment and a reference to monthly payments being made based on the billing received by Far West. So I was concerned about the county entering into this. It looks like you might be entering into something where you could possibly pay more than we are going to get grant money for, and the taxpayers will have to fill in the holes here. Thank you.
Hi, Lucas Tipton with Far West Engineering. If I could talk a little bit to the contract amount. The contract amount for this project is $280,000, and it's going to include various engineering and surveying tasks as well as construction management through constructing the improvements throughout Six Mile Canyon. I think the fees were actually below the budget that you currently had for this project, and some reasons for that are prior projects we've done in 2011. We did a flood study for the entire county, which includes this watershed area, and so various efforts will not need to be repeated with Far West doing this work.
Thank you. Does anyone else have any questions on this? And Sherry, how many years did you say we've been working on this now?
We started in 2009, so we're in 2014 today, and we have until the end of 2017 to complete this project.
So typically, when we do work on a project that runs into 5 years like this, when we come to the fruition of it like this, it is routine to put this on a consent agenda. So, thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Motion for approval of item 10.
Motion to approve the contract.
Second.
Moved and second to approve the Six Mile Canyon Drainage Improvement Grant Professional Engineering Service Agreement with Far West Engineering. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. And now we'll go back and ask for approval of the consent agenda as whole.
Motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll second the motion.
It's been moved and second to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. All right, at this time, item number 12. This will be discussion. Dave Szabo, the Veterans of Foreign Wars Commander, would like to make a presentation to Sheriff's Department and Fire Department personnel. Come on up to the podium, Dave.
I'd like to thank the commission for allowing the VFW Post 8071 Virginia City time to present these awards to our first responders. We feel that it's very important. First of all, I'd like to introduce our officers right here to my left. Is Sean Peterson. He's our commander. Joe Soros. He's our quartermaster. I'm Dave Szabo, the adjutant and also community service officer. And also we have Lenny Munoz. Our primary mission for the VFW is to serve the vets and also the community. So I'm here to let the community know that we're here to help the community too. And anything that we can do to make this community better, you know, we want to work hand in hand with you guys and get it done. So, you know, We've discussed things at our meetings. Our meetings are the first Saturday of every month at 1 o'clock down at the Washoe Club. So if there's anybody that's a veteran or anybody that just wants to come up, needs help for whatever, just come on in to the meeting. You're welcome. And tell us what you need, and we'll go about seeing if we can help you or not. Last year, I went to the sheriff, and I also went to the fire chief, and I asked them, we have a program with the VFW, and that program is a national program, and what it does is it recognizes our first responders, deputies, paramedics, or firemen. And it's a national thing, so we're down to the post level here. After the sheriff wrote up his nominee and the fire chief, it gets presented to the state. So they make a recommendation if that person can win the state, and then it goes to national. So anyway, right now we're at the post level. So anyway, I'd like to present some awards, the plaques. I'm retired law enforcement, so I got a little preference towards the deputy. So we're going to do Sergeant Elaine Keener first, and she's a lady, so step up here, Sergeant. And I'm going to read what the sheriff wrote, and this is his letter of commendation. It is with great pleasure that I write this letter nominating Sergeant Elaine Keener for her organization and recognition. Sergeant Keener has been with the Story County Sheriff's Office, serving the people of Story County for over 12 years. She has served in virtually all capacities, patrol, corrections, and she's currently serving as an investigator. Sergeant Keener is a tenacious individual who refuses to quit any task given to her. She is a dedicated, hardworking peace officer who understands there is more to public service than just arresting the bad guys. She goes above and beyond to solve cases, assist her fellow deputies, provide service to the community, and that far surpasses what I've seen to be the law enforcement norm. No task is too large or too small. She gives her full attention to accomplishing the mission and serving the people of Story County. Perhaps what makes Sergeant Keener so unique is that along with providing outstanding service to Story County, she is the mother of three, pursuing higher education, and still finds time to serve actively in the community. There truly seems to be no limit to her dedication to others. Whether it was her daily reports, violent activity incident, or a homicide investigation, when Sergeant Keener is on hand, the circumstances are quickly controlled, mediated. Her strength of character, efficiency, operation, and insight beyond her years are inspirational and bring about positive results for the Sheriff's Department in all Story County. I cannot say enough about her worth as an employee and a servant to the people. So, Sean, read the plaque, please.
All right. The plaque states, Law Enforcement Award presented to Sergeant Melanie Keener. In grateful recognition of unyielding adherence to the highest ideals of law enforcement in maintaining, preserving, and protecting the lawful rights of all citizens. You are awarded from the Veterans of Foreign Wars from Post 8071, Virginia City, Nevada, 2013.
Thank you. Okay, now we're going to do the paramedics and the firefighter, Sean. And I'll do them together because the fire chief wrote this commendation together because the incident that occurred for them to get this commendation, they were working together. And here it is. I have spoken with a number of Story County fire districts, and we have come to the conclusion that firefighter, paramedic, Benjamin Brown, and Battalion Chief Jeffrey Navin are the best candidates to be nominated for such an award. And it goes on to say, on a chilly morning in September, and this was written by Captain Dixon, and Captain Dixon is stating that he was working with the sea ship on Virginia City, in Virginia City, with Jeff and Ben. They had just started their shift, and Ben's shift, he has in a little notation here, it's the second shift after being hired just 1 week prior, so he was brand new to the job. We received a call for a man down at a local bar. We responded and arrived on scene to find the patient's pulseless, and he didn't, and he wasn't breathing. Ben took charge of the scene, like a seasoned paramedic should. Jeff arrived on scene and asked Ben what he needed. Even though Jeff is the incident commander, he allowed Ben to retain control of the life-saving measures. The call went along flawlessly. After delivering two shocks with the deliverator and proper amounts of medication delivered, the patient regained a heartbeat and started breathing on his own again. The patient was transferred to care flight, and he was... As he was being transferred, he regained consciousness, and he began talking to the paramedics and the firefighter. Captain Dixon is proud to say that working with these two individuals, this is the main reason that he feels that Jeff and Ben deserve the commendation. So,
first award I would like to present is the Firefighter Award presented to Battalion Chief Jeffrey Nevin. With special recognition and highest praise for alertness, personal courage, and ever-vigilant guardianship of life and property by the veterans of foreign wars of the United States, post 8071, Virginia City, Nevada, 2013. And here to step in to accept the award for Jeffrey Nevin is Roy Thompson, captain and paramedic with Story County.
Thank you.
Second award, paramedic award, presented to EMS Benjamin Brown in special recognition of exemplary service to humanity by administering emergency medical assistance, awarded by the Veterans of Foreign Wars of the United States, post 8071, Virginia City, Nevada, 2013. Now, and the second award is Peter Fitch, EMT second class, or second?
EMT2.
EMT2, all right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, that's it, and thank you very much for giving us the time to do this. And let me leave a couple of cards for
Casey. Okay, great. Thanks, Dave, and thanks to the local VFW.
Yeah, I have a few cards for Casey. You need to...
All right. Very good. Thank you very much. All righty. Moving along now, we're going to move on to item number 13, community development and planning. This is a discussion, possible action on variance 2014-014. Desi, is this you? Okay.
Okay, thank you, Chairman, members of the Commission. This is variance 2014-014 by Mark Stevens, who I did just get a phone call from, who his car broke down and so he can't be here today, which is unfortunate. But all the details are outlined in your staff report. This is a variance for a reduced setback, rear yard setback of 20 feet from the required 40 feet. And the applicant also requests a variance for the allowance of a detached accessory building to be closer than 50% of the depth of the lot from the front property line. I can go into further detail, or if you have any questions in the staff report.
I don't, Desi, because I've read your staff report. Everything seems to be complete. I always have to make exceptions for people's properties when they're, they have, especially in the Highlands, when things don't match up exactly right.
Right.
I appreciated your consideration on changing the address so it conform with the other properties that have been built out to the 1 acre sites. But I agree that the frontage would require him to remove a lot of trees, and which would be unfortunate up in the area. I don't think any of us want that. So it looks to me like the variance is the right thing to do at this point.
Okay.
I looked at too, one of those items that just the rules just don't seem to quite fit the proposed property up there. If I would make a motion then to approve the variance 2014-014.
And Commissioner, if I could read the findings of fact into the record.
See if there's any public comment on it.
Anybody have any public comment on this today? And the staff report reflects that there's no concerns by any of the neighbors on this either. So.
Yep.
Yeah, can you go ahead and read the findings of fact, please?
That there are special circumstances applicable to the subject property, including the configuration of the property. Therefore, the strict application of the zoning ordinance deprives the subject property of privileges enjoyed by other properties in the vicinity or under the same zone classification. That the granting of the variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of substantial property rights of the property owner. That the granting of the variance will not, under the circumstances of the particular case, adversely affect to a material degree the health or safety of persons residing or working in the neighborhood or neighborhood of the subject property, and will not materially detrimentally to the public welfare or the property or improvements in the neighborhood of the subject property. That the proposed variance is in compliance with all federal, Nevada State, and Story County regulations. That the proposed variance is in compliance with Story County Code 17.03.14 variances, 17.12.48 accessory buildings, and 17.40 estates when all conditions of approval are met. That the proposed variance is in compliance with and supports the goals, objectives, and recommendations of the Story County Master Plan.
Mr. Baker.
Have a motion in the second.
A second.
Been moved and second for approval of variance 2014-014. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Very good. All right. Moving right along here at item 14. Discussion and possible action. The applicant, Comstock Mining LLC, request amendments to existing special use permit number 2000-222-A-3 to modify and expand the applicable land area and allowable uses. Austin Osborne, you have the floor.
Thank you, Commissioners. We'll be ready here just a second. All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. What I plan on doing here is providing a brief introduction of what we have here in front of us today, and then allowing the applicant then to come up and describe their project and what they propose to do. Essentially, what we have in front of us is a special use permit for Comstock Mining to provide a substantial expansion or major modification to their existing special use permit that has been in place since 2000 and has been amended since 2012. And so essentially what we have in front of us, as I see it, is really an opportunity more than anything else. I've been listening to, since I've been staff with the county as well as my time on the Planning Commission, the concerns of the public with regard to getting what we see down at the bottom of Gold Canyon under control. That has nothing to do with Comstock mining itself, but rather the use that has existed down at the bottom of the canyon for quite some time. And so really, all the way up until now, there's been these little amendments, these little, we want to change this condition and we want to adjust that condition. And each time we've been able to come in there and tune those language up a little bit better and a little bit better each time to try to get some of the language that existed quite some time ago up to par with modern technology, modern definitions, and appropriate use. And so really, in this case, for the applicant coming to us for a comprehensive review of the special use permit, an amendment to it, of really all portions of it, has allowed us to go there and do a comprehensive update of this and do those things. And so really what we're looking at this point is doing that. We've had three Planning Commission meetings, those with full public workshops that occurred here at the courthouse over comparing the existing special use permit with the new special use permit amendment and discussing all the changes that we really would like to see take place at the bottom of the hill with regard to the applicant's requests, as well as things that the county has seen as a benefit to the community and the county and the environment. And some of those elements, for example, in the new special use permit that did not exist in the existing one or were not as substantial, dealt with things like a 10-year expiration period. The new special use permit will expire in 10 years. The other one was to live forever. The expansion area, it's substantial. It's going to go from approximately 130 acres to 1,300 acres. But then we're going to go back and we're going to say, well, you can play in 1,300 acres, but we're only going to allow you to play in 120 acres at a time. And then we're only going to allow you to explore over 20 acres at a time. And then if you want to go any further than that, then there's going to be a rolling reclamation of 50 acres behind you. And so while the area of the subject property is large, the use is not necessarily. There's an annual compliance review that is being presented to you. Every year, the Planning Commission and the County Commission will hear the applicant's statement on whether they complied with NDEP requirements and BLM requirements and other requirements of the special use permit, and an environmental review with things like data regarding dust monitoring, water monitoring, and those sorts of things. There's an underground element to the special use, our brand new Title 17, 1792 Mining Ordinance encourages underground operations. This operation or this special use has an underground component to it. And there's a reclamation plan in this permit that goes over and beyond what the NDEP, which is Nevada Division of Environmental Protection, by the way, I try to explain that when I use abbreviations or acronyms, and there's 100% reclamation of all the land in one form or another that does not exist in the existing special use permit, nor does it exist in the NDEP permit. And there's protections for the district or distances to residences. There's hours of days limitations. There's historical preservation, including the applicant's willingness to participate in a net smelter return of 1% of their net smelter return proceeds into going into bonding for reclamation and historic preservation. And there's cyanide separation between residential uses and the heap leach operation. There's regulations on State Route 342, and there's regulations to protect the Silver City water line from potential damage. These are all new things in the new permit that didn't exist currently. And there's an operating plan requirement now that goes over and beyond the existing permit. And that operating plan has your basic things like emergency information, basic information, emergency plan that would be approved by the Story County Fire District and the Emergency Management Department, access, disaster management, compliance and reporting with NDEP, et cetera, historical preservation, water and air monitoring. But more substantially, in this operating plan, it's required that the applicant has 100% reclamation of all disturbed lands. Part of that will be managed by the NDEP or the BLM, whichever is applicable, and the other portion will go beyond those requirements at the special use level, at the county level, to require that all land that the NDEP or BLM does not require to be reclaimed is reclaimed. and there's a surety bond that goes along with that. Where the NDEP or BLM have a surety bond for their level of reclamation, the applicant will have to go beyond that to meet the county's requirement, and there's a third-party review element in there if the county were to review the applicant's proposal. And there's cemetery protections in here that go over and beyond state requirements, as well as far as monitoring for use, as well as vibration and disturbances, those sorts of things. So getting halfway through here, there's a limitation in here. Half of the special use permit, as you see, is limited to mining. And you can see in this illustration here, and that one could be bigger. But I think we've all seen this for the most part. But you'll see that the applicant is allowed to mine basically on the Lucerne area that you see now. Here's State Route 342, and here is the east side of the highway. They're allowed to mine here. And they will allow to process in this area. This entire area is not going to be for processing, and this entire area is not going to be for mining. That's going to be the rolling operation that will occur in this entire area up to 120 acres. And then the area over here will be dependent on what the NDEP or the BLM will determine appropriate. There's hours in the new area will be 1,000 feet from any residence. It will be 8 to 5 o'clock in weekdays, no holidays. A property owner may provide a waiver. And then to this property underneath the bubble that says, look here, we're going to look there eventually. And that could not be worse. So what we have is State Route 342 right here. And then we probably, if anybody in this audience has been to the four Planning Commission meetings, there is a residence right here of the Coxes, and there is a distance buffer that goes right here, which is approximately 700 feet, with some cut-ins in certain areas like here, and here where certain limited operations like drilling will be allowed to occur. But again, those are under limited circumstances, such as 30 days and certain hours of operation. And then the other residences who have not protested would provide the distance limitation, and they could provide a waiver, or if they've applied with the application, would be allowed to occur closer. State Route 342, there was substantial discussion on that at the Planning Commission. There was argument whether the mine should be able to use the highway or not. And essentially the amended special use permit that was brought to the Planning Commission and now brought here does not allow use of State Route 342 for processing of ore or other materials except under circumstances where the mine is not able to use Lot 51 under its environmental assessment with the BLM. There is an alternative that's provided that they would be able to use the road under those circumstances if they were not allowed to use Lot 51, and those would be the only circumstances. If this board would like me to explain the EA process, I'll be happy to. Otherwise, I'll go ahead and continue forward with a couple of closing points. The Silver City water line, and this map, it really, the lighting in here today is pretty rough. But I think with the amount of hearings we had at the Planning Commission, I'm a little bit more comfortable showing maps of this quality at the moment. Again, we see the Cox's residences right here, State Route 342. Here's the Story Lyon County line. Here's Silver City. And there's a water line that runs right through the middle of this area. There's a substantial amount of discussion on protecting that water line and making sure that if the mine were to go to the east side of the highway and cause potential damage to that line, that it would be protected ahead of time. And then if there was any repairs needed, that there's a plan in place approved by the Public Works Director on our side, as well as the Central Lyon County Fire District, who would be concerned about fire flows in Silver City before that occurs. And those people would make the determination what needs to be done to that water line ahead of time. And I think the important part of that is the collaboration between those parties before anybody moves forward. Last but not least, the agencies that have reviewed the staff report or had provided comment, I did get comments from the Story County Fire District, from the Emergency Management Department, and also from Central Lyon County Fire Department or Fire District. And then provided to BLM, the NDEP, Lyon County Planning, and the Silver City Town Advisory Council. Both this Planning Commission staff report or County Commission staff report, as well as the Planning Commission version. And that's just my overview of what we have here today. And if you have any questions for me, I'll be happy to answer before the applicant comes up.
Before we begin too, I'd like the record to reflect, because I attended all four meetings. I think each of you attended those, and I'd like that acknowledged on the record so that we have a record that you've all set through all of the planning commission meetings. And I think you, as I recall, all three of you were all four of the planning commission meetings. I want that to be on the record. Plus, the people have already testified at those meetings, and they haven't got anything new that they're going to add to today's meeting. I just wanted to record to reflect that you might have already heard it at the planning commission meeting. So if each of you could, on the record, tell us what meetings you attended with what commission?
I believe I've attended
before,
and all of it set through the entirety. We talked for about an hour, hour and a half on each.
I attended three of the four, and I attended for the full session.
I attended at least three and maybe all four for the full session. So, anything else, Mr. District Attorney?
No, Chairman. Are we ready to take discussion?
I believe the applicant has something that they wanted to present, a short presentation.
Sure.
Okay. Mr. DeGasper, it would be a short presentation. I'm questioning that based on the download time.
No. It's very short. It's very short.
Presentation or bank account?
3 minutes.
You need a pointer?
I have a pointer. Okay. Thank you. So, and for the record, Corrado DeGasper is president of Comstock Mining. Non-PC user looking for the big screen. You show me that? Oh, it's right there.
Yeah.
And I and Gold Hill, Nevada, sorry. So just very briefly, I don't want to be redundant with Austin, but I would like to say that, I've been through a tremendous number of long meetings with the Planning Commission over the last 5 years, and I don't feel that I've been participant in more productive sessions. You know, this might have been the longest run, but I think justified by, you know, a pretty meaningful amendment. And when I flip through, the end product, not only did the staff put a tremendous amount of thought, I think it probably reflects one of the best, we've said this a few times, but in this case, one of the best public-private collaborations where, you know, both parties are working so hard to meet all of the needs of the community with all the right inputs. And I think it resulted in something that sets a new standard. I believe it sets a new standard for the state of Nevada. I believe Story County is setting tremendous precedent in its diligence and attention to detail. And in the end, puts unprecedented protection and controls in place for all of us. And when I go through this quick list, I highlighted with italics where the item was either modified or added or improved from the good starting point that we had in the staff report by the diligence of the Planning Commission. So we do exceed state, federal standards associated with many areas, and in particular, accelerated reclamation and bonding for higher levels of reclamation and restorations. But some environmental monitoring that was being done, Jim Hindle suggested, and we expanded up into Story County, and it's a tremendous a program that goes above and beyond any of our air quality permit requirements. It absolutely limits and controls the rate of expansion and development. Austin was specific on that. It protects residences, and with hindsight, the direct collaborations, with the Cox family and with all of the Gold Hill residents, for me it was heartwarming, not only in the sense that there's good open dialogue, but that we came to good conclusions that met the needs of all parties. As Austin said, Laura brought it up, and we put in some additional protections, ultimately likely enhancing the Silver City water line if we develop to the extent that we hope to. Very strong protections on State Route 342, both in terms of use and guidelines on how it might be modified. It absolutely enables restoration of previously mined areas. This expansion will allow fuller restorations of what's behind us just by the nature of its design. It really formalizes financial guarantees to the highest standard, to NDEP's standards, which ultimately means we're posting bonds and posting collateral, not only above and beyond what's required, but for activities that are above and beyond what's required. And Larry Prater made the point that the historical restoration activities, both by the mining company and the foundation, were very appreciated. And is there a way that we can ensure that continues, and is formalized, in the permit? And that was modified. It streamlines the permitting process. Story County might be the world class in terms of speed and efficiency of permitting. That's a credit to the county. But in this case, it consolidates without losing any control, into one place. And I think it really leverages not only the master plan objectives to protect current and future mining, while protecting the historical aspect of what we do, but the effort that went into the local ordinance. So that's a lot said, but it was a tremendous amount of effort. You saw this map. I won't repeat it. That's the current area in blue that we're mining, and there's just, the initial foreseeable expansions are still very minor in nature and are restricted to private lands. There's a tremendous amount of geology on the east side of the road. We couldn't be more excited. I think the Comstock is always been recognized as a world-class mining district, but I'll tell you that isn't just a historical statement. It remains a world-class epithermal district. The reclamations specifically have already started in the Keystone area and in the Billy the Kid area. As we mined some of the perimeters of the west, we've now started the reclamation process. That's the Keystone previously. Most have seen and commented on the contouring that's been completed. That's a close-up of it. That's a big close-up of it. We're very proud of that. The seeding of that will commence in October. We also have now compiled a lot of material behind the Hartford and Billy the Kid area, and that's going to be the next phase of restoration and concurrent reseeding here in the fall. And we've got proposals as we advance Lucerne and Hartford mining on the west. We have proposals to, as Austin said, fully reclaim and substantially restore those activities and they're bonded. Our heap leaching operation is extremely stable and well housekept, but we've already started now, and we don't promote this per se, but we've already started reclamation activities on the initial cells on the backside. So this philosophy of concurrent reclamation is not only very protective, but it's actually a much more intelligent way to proceed because you're attending to things and not allowing the housekeeping to ever get out of hand. And the site really looks fantastic, from that perspective. We have future reclamation plans on the Justice area. We also have the Justice Millwork Foundation that's going to be ultimately put back in its place with interpretation. And we've done some preservation, as you all know, with the foundation. The foundation's acquired the Donovan Mill in Silver City, and the planning now is for, bigger, more important efforts. Yet somehow, Ron and the foundation continue to contribute to a lot of smaller local projects as we go. The environmental program is almost fully deployed. We're in progress of deploying. The results are 24/7 and continuous, and we've committed to reporting those and providing full transparency. And as I said, we extended it all the way up, into Story County, with great perimeter on all the residential properties. There were a couple of areas, that we talked about in the permit with the Planning Commission. I just highlight them for clarification purposes. One was, you know, there's a clear notion of controlled disturbance, 120 acres at a time, and no allowance to go beyond that unless there's concurrent reclamation that replaces it. I think that's one of the most intelligent aspects of this permit, and it's positive for all concerned. We did make a point, and Austin might comment on it later, that we wanted to make sure it was crystal clear in all aspects of the permit that it was a rolling maximum acreage, you know, at any given time. There also is incredible protection in this permit and philosophically by our master plan and ordinance, mainly our ordinance, to rely on other regulators. You know, so we added to the permit that Army Corps of Engineers amongst BLM, amongst NDEP, amongst SHPO, and everyone else that's responsible, that we rely on them. There is one minor, and we also have great language in terms of if we remove trees, we're going to replace them more substantively. You know, if we had to remove trees, we would replace them more substantively. There's one area of the permit where it wasn't clear if we would default to the permit language or the Army Corps of Engineers, and we had a little dialogue about that. But other than that, I think the permit is really has gone through an outstanding level of diligence. And so from our perspective, it's consistent with the master plan. You know, it's consistent with the, with the goals of our diverse economies, and really we couldn't feel better, you know, about, you know, all the things that we talked about. That's it in a nutshell. So if there's any questions for me or staff, obviously.
Thank you, sir. We're going to take public comment. First, we're going to take about a 5 to 10 minute recess, okay, and then we'll get right into it.